Welcome to the Placebo Magic Podcast, the podcast about imaginative self-care for skeptics. I'm your host, Durmok, the wizard and peasant lord of the vast 10-acre realm of Hobdur, also known as Garrison Benson. Greetings, placebo mages. Today, the final-ish episode of the Placebo Magic Podcast. But first, thank you to our newest Patreon backer, Lori. And thank you to our patrons at the producer level or above, Emily, A Sociology of Tarot, Agnominimus, Annie, Brianne, Fenn, Gyun, John, Marissa, McKinley, Tony, and Valerie. Okay, so today is our finale episode. We're going to be doing another lightning round of mini topics here, trying to sort of clean out my barrel of topics. I have to admit that I'm really like running out of things to talk about, which is part of the reason the podcast is ending. I was hoping to do more of these mini topic episodes as kind of a finale, a big shebang, having a rapid succession of episodes, but I just am scraping the bottom of the barrel. And, there's a reason that I'm deciding to end the show, and that's part of it. Anyway, hopefully what we do have on the docket for today will be productive for y'all. So yeah, I think first off, I just want to kind of reflect a little bit about the podcast. And so I've been doing this 5 years today since the first episode. And it's kind of weird to think about because on one hand, 5 years is not very long. I mean, it's a long time in internet time, a long time for a podcast to go. But like in life, 5 years is not very much. But it feels like I was not quite the same person 5 years ago as I am. So it's just kind of weird to think about that. I don't know, that it just kind of frames the passage of time in an interesting way for me to reflect that how much I've changed since I started this show. And not just how I've changed, I've also changed a lot in my approach to this topic of placebo magic. I've reflected on this before, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I have definitely gotten more casual in my approach to magic. When I started out, I think through a combination of not feeling like I knew what I was doing, and then also just the excitement of doing something new, I was much more into the more ceremonial type of stuff of casting a circle and chanting and doing things in a very structured and formulaic way. And as time's gone on, I've gotten way more casual with it. I think, yeah, partly due to increased confidence and also just laziness, like realizing that, a self-care practice is only effective if it can actually fit into your life. And so while it is fun to put on a wizard robe and go in the woods and walk around a circle 27 times while chanting, it's not like a practical thing to do on a regular basis as like a part of your self-care regimen. So yeah, I definitely have changed, and I've tried to make the podcast reflect that change because I don't want anybody else to think that they are supposed to be doing something really onerous as part of a self-care practice. I think do whatever fits your life best. So if you are someone who wants to be doing all this more ornate magic and ritual, then go for it. And if you like collecting the baubles, but if you don't want to, don't worry about it. And honestly, you can, I think, get all of these kinds of benefits of using imagination and ritual, but you don't have to even flavor it as magic if you don't want to. If you are squeamish about that, either because you don't want to be associated with occultism, or if you just don't want people to think you're weird or whatever, or it's just not aesthetically that you don't like the witchy aesthetic, that's totally fine. I think you can just use these kinds of practices and it's with a different coat of paint. You can flavor it in a pop culture kind of way, or you can flavor it as something more just kind of sort of clinical and pragmatic. And there's your mileage may vary. Do whatever works best for you. Don't worry about what you like should or shouldn't do in terms of what you think you should be instead focus on who you are now and what is going to be most effective at helping that person. You know, keep thinking pragmatically about it. I would say too, even though this podcast is more about, you know, ritual and imagination than about mindfulness, if you only have time for one self-care practice, then make it mindfulness meditation. Just forget about magic and ritual entirely and just focus on meditation, you know, a few minutes a day if you can, because I think that ultimately that's like just a much more overall effective tool. I think magic is really cool and helpful, but it's not approaching the level of helpfulness as mindfulness meditation is. And there are tons of great, you know, resources out there for non-religious use of mindfulness. So like one that I really recommend to the types of folks who listen to this podcast, there's a book called Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics by Dan Harris that is a really great jumping off point for people who maybe are a little allergic to the religious or spiritual flavored versions of meditation. But also I personally really got into mindfulness through Thich Nhat Hanh, through some of his books, and really you could pick up any of his books, but the one that I most strongly recommend is Peace is Every Step as a starting point. Okay, so that, I guess I didn't introduce that mini topic, but that's something I really wanted to address again in this final episode as kind of a parting message of just like, yeah, take it easy on yourself. Don't make this into a burden. And if you only have time for one thing, make it mindfulness. Okay, moving on to another mini topic here. I want to talk a little bit about terminology in occultism and in the witchy world, and also just more broadly in the religious and spiritual world. I think basically what I want to address is kind of just to give a little bit of a warning and kind of something to be aware of, is that people are using terms in different ways and they don't always mean the same thing when they use a particular term. There's a lot of like really hyper specialized uses of certain terms in the occult world. And all this to say, I think that if you're having a conversation with someone you don't know very well yet, it can be really helpful to just like, if they say something to you, like let's say they say, I'm a kitchen witch, or I'm an agnostic pagan, or I don't know what, you know, just any combination of these sort of labels people use for themselves. I think a lot of times I've tried to train myself to just immediately kind of ask, well, what do you mean when you say that? Because what I think they mean may be completely different from what they actually mean. And in particular, when you start to approach like words that have a religious connotation, like God or the word religious or spiritual or things like that, people who have, you know, religious trauma of any kind or just religious burnout or whatever, you know, reason they left, if they grew up religious, that may be a little bit of a, people have allergic reactions to certain words, and so they will vehemently avoid claiming to be religious or claiming to be spiritual or whatever their thing is, because they have a particular aversion to that term, partly based maybe on some baggage from the past. And so it's just something you just want to be cognizant. And I just think it's really helpful to try to build some, like, before you kind of get into a deep conversation with somebody, you want to kind of clear the confusion about some of these terms. I know for me, when I first started looking into this stuff before I started the podcast, as some of you may know, like when I started the podcast, I could not find anybody talking about magic as an open label placebo. It's not that they weren't out there at all, but I really got confused by all the terminology. And in particular, early on, I think I was like pretty close to stumbling upon atheopaganism, which is a pretty, you know, adjacent thing. But I got thrown off because I realized that some people, when they use the word atheist, they don't mean skeptic or naturalist, which, you know, I guess going back to the origins of the word, that's not what it meant. But nowadays, most people, I think when they call themselves an atheist, they mean that they don't believe in anything supernatural, not just referring to deities. But I have found in the world of paganism, there are people who are like atheist pagans who do believe in the supernatural and just either don't believe in gods or don't like gods and don't want to work with gods. And so that really confused me at first. And I was like, wait, they're using the term atheist in a completely different way than what I'm used to. And so, yeah, that just really kind of threw me off. And then, speaking of the word naturalist, that's another one that there's so many different meanings of the word naturalist that have almost nothing to do with each other. There's the John Muir naturalist, there's the nudist naturalist, there's the or maybe that's a naturist, I forget. But then there's the naturalist philosophy kind of not believing in the supernatural. So that's a whole other can of worms. But anyway, so yeah, just wanted to be a PSA. This was like many of the mini topics, this is something that I thought about making a whole episode out of, and I realized there's really not that much to say about it, except just be aware that when somebody uses a term, they may not mean what you think they mean or what you mean when you say that same term. All right, next I want to get into a little bit of a final kind of resource roundup. Some of these are ones I've already covered a little bit, but another part of the reason that I wanted to bring this show to a conclusion is just that I feel like it's kind of been superseded in a way, like where I mentioned this a little bit last month, that a lot of the resources that I'm aware of that come from more scholarly or like journalistic sources that touch on, if not placebo magic directly, they're very close to it. A lot of those resources only came into existence in the past few years. And so it's in a way I kind of feel like I've been, there's not as much point of me being here doing this as just an armchair amateur guy when there are much more scholarly sources that you can seek out to do this stuff. And I hope that in some of my book discussions and things like that over the years, I have gotten y'all excited about some of those things. But I want to kind of just run through a few really quick that are good places to go from here if you like want more of this kind of content and you want to kind of graduate to something that's a little more academic but still written for the masses but just has more kind of like cited sources and backing, like compared to what I'm doing here. So there's a book, Suggestible You by Eric Vance, which covers the placebo effect extensively as well as like other aspects of suggestibility. Useful Delusions, I've mentioned before, by Shankar Vedantam and Bill Messler. Also, the Hidden Brain podcast, which is hosted by Shankar Vedantam, is really, really excellent. It's a podcast about psychology in general. And around the time that he published the book Useful Delusions, he did a lot of episodes that were covering, elements of the book. And so all of those episodes are especially relevant to people, listening to the Placebo Magic podcast. But in general, like I would say Hidden Brain, a lot of episodes of that were really influential to me before I started and while making this podcast. Also, there's a book called How God Works by David DeStenno, relatively new book. And when he launched that book, he also launched the How God Works podcast. And so that is like incredibly relevant to, Placebo Magic podcast listeners. He basically, looks at different religious traditions and practices from around the world and all different cultures and examines them through a psychologist's lens. And David DeStenno, if I remember right, he is a research psychologist. So check those out for sure. The Happiness Lab podcast, I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about that before. I'm a huge fanboy. That is hosted by a psychologist named Dr. Lori Santos. She's kind of one of the world's leading experts of happiness psychology, and not just an expert, but a very, good evangelist for that. And so the Happiness Lab podcast, just a really great listen for anybody who has, anybody who has a human brain and didn't receive an owner's manual at birth should check out that podcast. And it also does very often touch on things like ritual and imagination and things that are particularly relevant to y'all. I also really recommend the 10% Happier podcast with Dan Harris. He's the author of the book I mentioned earlier, Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics. What I did was I first listened to the audiobook of Meditation for Fidgety Skeptics. And then from there, I jumped straight into his podcast. And it was like a nice smooth transition because the audiobook is narrated by the author, or actually authors, because the book is co-written with Jeff Warren, I think. Anywho, that co-author is also a frequent guest on his podcast. So the 10% Happier podcast is not quite as rooted in the science, but it is still pretty close to that. The creator, Dan Harris, is a journalist. I think he was on like ABC News or something like that. He's like a news anchor. And he kind of pivoted into becoming like a meditation evangelist. Not, I don't know if he's really a meditation teacher per se, but he interviews meditation teachers, and there's a lot of like guided meditation mini episode kind of things they have on that podcast feed. And he's someone who is very like, he doesn't like the woo-woo, like wishy-washy, lovey-dovey hippie language. And so it's kind of a nice like lens to like, if you are a skeptic by nature, that's how you identify, and that's how you look at the world. Dan Harris is a great host to be interviewing these guests, because they may be guests who are from Buddhist monasteries or what have you, but he brings that kind of skepticism and that just awareness of how not everybody is as into the kind of like spiritual lingo. So it's very accessible and just like a good way. And he does have a lot of psychologists on there as well as like meditation teachers. So it's a really great resource. So yeah, I'd say like if you're missing the Placebo Magic podcast and looking for more, definitely go seek those things out. And then you can kind of get that a little more academic approach than I can offer with my limited or non-existent credentials. Okay, on to another mini topic here. I want to talk a little bit about using magic to help deal with depression. So, you know, there are a lot of different things you could try to do, but I think that, in my opinion and my experience and my gut, intuition, is that your best bet is probably going to be focusing on just connection. So rather than trying to use magic to try to like get your energy up, to try to motivate you to do stuff that you've been procrastinating or whatever when you're depressed, I think that it's more effective in the long term in terms of not frustrating yourself too much, to focus on just trying to achieve a little more connection with the world and your body. I guess my experience has been that when I'm depressed, I tend to have that kind of numb type of depression. Like if you kind of have a spectrum from sad to numb, I tend to stay near the numb side. And it's kind of a thing where if I do get more connected to my body, there's a lot of like sadness that comes or pain that comes with that. And that's probably why that I numb, you know, and seek out like numbing activities. And so I have found that generally speaking, if I forget about productivity and forget about like judging myself for all the things that I'm not doing when I'm depressed and just focus on trying to connect, then a lot of the other stuff comes kind of more naturally as a consequence. But just because connecting, reconnecting with yourself can be painful, you want to kind of approach it in a way that is very gentle and welcoming and create like a safe space for that. And I think like magical practices, a lot of the tools that we have in our magical toolbox involve, you know, creating kind of sanctified spaces. Great ways to connect would be kind of using like mindfulness activities, like mindful walking, nature bathing, like forest bathing kind of thing. You know, obviously meditation. I guess I find that if I'm depressed, like, because I tend to seek out avoidant behaviors, meditating, just sitting meditation is, or breath meditation is a lot less appealing, and I tend to, you know, put it off or avoid it. But walking meditation is easier because it's something that, like, I feel like I'm not just sitting there with my, you know, feelings. I'm like doing something, I guess. So it's like has a little bit of the, like, if avoidance is the poison, then the cure has a little bit of the poison in it, and then like it's something I don't have to commit to, like total silence. And so I think that just feeling like the breeze on my skin, or feeling the sun on my skin, listening to the birds, listening to the breeze, feeling the sensation of like my feet hitting the ground as I walk, those kinds of things I think can be really, really helpful. And creating that safe space for the pain to kind of come, and you can kind of process some of that pain, it makes engaging with life a lot easier, because I think that a lot of times we tend to like avoid engagement because of that. When you cross that threshold back into your body, the pain comes. And so if you can kind of like, you have like a backlog of pain, and if you can kind of make a point and make a safe space to process a little bit of that, then suddenly connecting and engaging is not nearly as daunting after that. Another mini topic here. This is something that I've just been thinking about a lot in the past couple of years. Something that, like, I never realized before how important it was. And this is the idea of clarity, and in particular, clarity in the sense of, like, just reducing ambiguity about, like, where I should be at any given time, what I should be doing at any given time. So, for instance, a few years ago, I built this swimming pond on my property that was just a ridiculously huge amount of manual labor. Just, I mean, I literally was like, it was like my job for like 3 months, just digging and sculpting and all of that, and building walls and stuff. So as I was working on this, I'm normally always juggling different projects at home, different, you know, home improvement projects or landscaping projects, gardening projects, creative projects. And when it came to that pond, I really just dialed in and just basically crossed everything else off my list and was like, I'm not focusing on any of this until the pond is done. And I ended up enjoying that process of building that pond a lot more than other work that I do at home, even though it was so, like, backbreaking, and grueling, and, you know, working all day in the summertime kind of thing. It just, I think what made it so pleasant was just the clarity of, like, getting up every day and knowing exactly what I was going to do that day. Some of you know, especially y'all who are listeners to the bonus show, that I have been really exploring a lot about kind of games lately, and just, like, thinking about how, what games and game design has to tell us about our own, you know, feelings about work and finding motivation and all that kind of thing. And I think that, you know, games do a really good job of providing kind of spaces of clarity where your goals are really clear, and not only goals, but, like, your progress is really clear. And so anyway, all this to say, I think that it's a kind of a possible target that you can, like, a goal to work toward, using things like magic and imagination to just, like, prune your sort of decision trees in your life so that you can be more clear in any given moment about, like, I know I'm in the right place doing the right thing. I know not really a magical solution, but one thing I really have benefited from, I think, is just trying to cut as much advertising as possible out of my life. And I just find that when I'm exposed to advertising, or even just exposed to, like, browsing in a store, I have all these thoughts popping up of, like, oh, maybe I should buy that thing. Maybe I need that thing. And a lot of ambiguity getting injected into my mind about, oh, maybe I'm not spending my money in the way I should. And if I just, you know, aggressively use ad blockers, don't bother looking at ads that get mailed to me, all of that stuff, it's like I can just cut a lot of that confusion out. And then I also, like, for instance, you know, I listened to some Star Wars podcasts, and I just stopped listening to some where they spent a lot of time talking about merchandise. It's like, I don't need Star Wars merchandise to be a real Star Wars fan. I don't need it for any particular reason. But when I hear people talking about their latest, like, purchases and stuff, I always start to wonder, like, oh, maybe I should get into collecting Star Wars merch. And y'all know I live in a tiny house. I really don't need that. So anyway, just the pruning that decision tree. So it's like, okay, collectibles are something I just don't have to think about. It's something that is completely not my problem. And that just clarifies my life a little bit. With regard to magic, I think that you can kind of use some little tricks through imagination and ritual to help you clarify. So, for instance, speaking of ritual, one thing that I think can be really, really helpful, and a lot of people got into during the COVID lockdowns when people were working from home a lot, is to have startup and shutdown rituals for work. Having, like, maybe a particular type of coffee or tea that you drink when you are starting your working from home. And then maybe at the end of your work from home, you go for a walk around the block, or you do something, but the key is that you do the same thing every time to help to set up a mental signal to yourself about when you should be working and when you shouldn't. For me, as someone who, like, I do a lot of work at home for myself, either chores or projects at home on my homestead, and it can be a struggle for me because I have a lot of ambiguity about like when I should be working and what I should be working on and when I should be relaxing. And so sometimes using these kinds of rituals can really help to clarify to my brain, like, okay, I am done for the day. I am clocked out of my home projects. Now I can just relax and not be wondering while I'm relaxing if I should be working, and vice versa. You know, if I do a startup ritual to shift gears and say, okay, I'm not browsing the internet anymore. I'm not playing Switch anymore. I'm focusing on my project for today. And there will be a time at the end of the day when I can switch back into doing these things I want to do. But just having that disambiguation, and it's very similar to like if you think of that, one of the key ingredients of ritual as being kind of like a bounded space or bounded time, you know, that you're kind of like ritualizing work and ritualizing rest, that a big benefit of that is cutting the amount of ambiguity at play. And you can use imagination here too, like similar to what I talked about in the last episode of this idea of like imagining a force field around a, you know, tempting food or something. I think you can use similar tricks, force field like tricks, to just kind of prune possibilities from your mind about things that you're wondering about, things that you're worried about. So, you know, let's say you are trying to decide whether you ought to go to the gym or whether you should catch up on washing dishes. You know, once you've made your decision, then you can just, let's say you decided to wash dishes, just visualize that the gym is closed, that it has a closed sign. Picture that in your head, or if you can't visualize, then say to yourself, the gym is closed today. And that maybe will help you to not feel guilty about skipping the gym when you already made your decision to focus on the dishes. You know, if you decided to go to the gym instead of washing the dishes, then maybe visualize there's like a force field around the dishes, then they can't be done today. It's just like off the table. The decision is made. You don't have to second guess it anymore. It's done. And then you can have some more of that clarity to just enjoy what you're doing in the moment. You know, that's one of the key ingredients of happiness is basically being in the moment, basically being mindful. And a lot of what robs us of our ability to stay present in the moment and enjoy the present moment is these thoughts going around our head, wondering if we ought to be doing something else, if we ought to be somewhere else. And so I think that can help a lot. Okay, and one more little mini topic here, which is just that I want to express my gratitude to the community that's has supported this show, especially our Patreon supporters, but really everybody who has been a listener or who has been a Patreon supporter in the past or who has participated in our Discord discussion or sent me emails or voicemails, or people who have shared the show with friends or shared it on social media or online discussion groups elsewhere. You know, when I started the show, I basically didn't know or couldn't find anybody else who was talking about this kind of thing. And I didn't know I was going to make the show for 5 years, but it was just like I was really interested in this topic and wanted to just like put it out there. And luckily, the people who were interested in this kind of found me. So I was able to find some, you know, like-minded people and community through that. And as far as the Discord server goes, you know, I kind of well, I didn't actually start the Discord. That was started by our mod Riven. But I kind of at some point when I decided I should have a Discord server, I asked him if I could sort of commandeer it, and he graciously allowed me to do so. Anyway, you know, at first when I started getting involved with that Discord, my thought process was like, oh, you know, as a content creator, I should have a Discord. Like the Discord is something that supports the podcast. But very quickly, it started to flip in my mind where the podcast is something that you know, that supports that community. And it really helped me to direct my content a little more in terms of finding particular sorts of challenges that people might benefit from, particular like topics to things to use magic for, and just other topics that things that people were talking about that I decided to cover, or you know, that kind of thing. And it also just provided a lot of nice feedback to me that helped me know that I was not just, you know, sending this podcast out into the void and never hearing anything from anybody, that both the Discord and just the general other kinds of feedback I've gotten from different people has been really nice to just help me to know that this is not just a waste of my time or anything like that, that there are people who are benefiting from it. It's helped me to kind of, deal with some of the imposter syndrome or whatever other, doubts that I've had about whether this is something worth doing. So I really appreciate everybody, and to all of you who have been Patreon supporters in particular, that has really helped me to stretch my in between job period. I'm working again now as of the past month and a half, but I managed to go 2.5 years between jobs, and most of that is my own frugality, which is something I've taken, I take to a kind of an extreme. But the Patreon support has really helped me to pay a lot of my monthly expenses, and then I could spend a lot of my savings on some homesteading and home improvement projects that I had wanted to get done while I wasn't working at a job. So that's been really, really helpful to me, and I super appreciate everybody who has contributed in that way, both past and present Patreon supporters. So yeah, just a reminder about what is going to happen with the future of this podcast. While this is the final episode, probably, I'll probably put some extra stuff out sometime in the future, just whenever, if I read a book that I'm really excited about that I think you guys might be interested in, and I can't stop myself from talking about it, then I may, put things like that on the feed in the future. But I am ending the regularly scheduled kind of content. However, if you are not currently a Patreon supporter, you will, or haven't been in the past, you'll continue to get new content because I'm going to be releasing the Patreon bonus episodes on the main podcast feed one per month going forward. So the podcast has been on a monthly schedule. It's going to continue to be on a monthly schedule, but if you are or have been a Patreon supporter, it'll be stuff that you may have already heard, but it'll be new for everybody else. And so if you want to kind of go and binge the backlog of Patreon episodes, you can do that by becoming a Patreon supporter. The only tier list that they'll be going forward will just be the $1 level, and you can contribute however much you want, and I appreciate anything more than that, but $1 will get you access to the whole back catalog. And so if you want to, you can pay me $1, binge the entire back catalog in a month, and then cancel, and I won't be offended because I'm a cheapskate as well. So I'm not offended when other people are thrifty. Yeah, but if you don't want to join the Patreon and you don't mind waiting, you will eventually get all or almost all of the content that's on the bonus show feed in the main podcast feed. There's a few years worth of episodes if I release them once a month. So that will hopefully continue to kind of stimulate discussion in the discussion group. And I am also going to set the groups on the Discord that were previously Patreon exclusive will now just be open, groups the same as all the other discussion groups. So that way, as people who are new listeners to or who are new to the bonus episodes, if they want to go back and see the discussion that happened when the episode first came out, they can do that. And also just because, it's if I don't have regularly right, if I'm not producing new content, then it's weird that people have to join the Patreon to see these two discussion channels. So yeah, so that'll be up on the Discord for y'all. So yeah, that is where I am going to wrap up for today, and for not for all time, but for yes, this is where I'm concluding the podcast. Yes, thank you all again so much. It's been a really meaningful experience to make this show and to interact with y'all in the various ways that I have. And so don't be a stranger. Take good care of yourselves. And I wanted to say, may the force be with you, but remember, magic is a metaphor, and metaphor is magical. You can find the Placebo Magic Podcast and my poetry on the web at garrisonbenson.com. Leave a voicemail for the show by calling 989-318-4118. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. You can support the show by giving us a review on your podcast app of choice, sharing an episode with a friend, or becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/placebomagic. Patreon supporters also gain access to our Patreon-exclusive bonus show. Remember, magic is a metaphor, and metaphor is magical.